morning, and thank you for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show, and with Susie and Chris, Susie Prez and Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris, my co-host.
Good morning, Susie. How you doing?
I'm fine. On this beautiful sunny day, how can I not be fine?
Yeah, it's feeling dry, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Compared to what we've been getting. So the weather is definitely taking a turn for the better.
I noticed I have a more of a smile on my face, actually, so it's pretty cool.
And we have a great show today. We are talking with candidates for the Lake Pend'Oreille School District Board of Trustees, and we have with us today the Zone 3 candidates, Lonnie Williams and Victoria Zeisjeg. Thank you both for coming in.
Morning. Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
So I can hear your voice at this point.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Yep. It's very nice. We're doing this series of all the different zones, and today it's Zone 3 with Victoria and Lonnie. And this is May 3rd, by the way. I always like to say date. It's early May. And the one question I have is, what happened to April? It just seemed to go by, but I think because of all the rain.
It rained.
I lost track or something. I just kind of hibernated again.
Got washed away, Susie.
It did. Okay.
It was a wet month.
Well, here we go into the true nature of spring with sunshine at least coming up. And from the National Weather Service, we have currently 41 degrees. Partly sunny today, high of 64. Low tonight, 44, partly cloudy. And tomorrow, just sunny. They're not saying partly sunny, just sunny. High of, get this, 77.
Whoa. That sounded like real springtime there. Yeah.
And then Thursday night, increasing clouds, 52. There's a bit of rain coming up through the weekend. We hope that it's just a joke or something like that. Anyways, you can always check out the National Weather Service to find out more. And so I think that's about it for the weather. What do you have over there, Chris?
Well, things going on around town real quickly is there are... a few things we'd like to mention. One is the library is having a big event called the Novel Night Gala, and that's a big fundraiser for the library. That's happening Saturday. There are some Cinco de Mayo parties going around. Today there's an event, actually, at Farman Park. I think it starts at 11:30 for the National Day of Prayer. If you're in town, go to that. It's fairly heartwarming and kind of a sort of event that hopefully brings the community together.
I think it's a blessing for our community.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing.
And we have something coming up
big
as well.
Yes, on Saturday at the Syringa Cyclery, located at 518 Oak Street, it's a Viggo Mortensen art auction. Now, this art auction is a benefit for 88.5 KRFY, our community radio station, us, and the University of Idaho Cyclocross Course, which benefits Team Autism 24/7. This art opening and reception will take place Saturday from 11 to 3, that's May 6th, at the Cycle Shop. And then that's the opening of the auction, which is an online auction running from the 6th through the 21st of May. And you can actually preview the auction items right now at biddingforgood.com/KRFY.
Yes, or you could get there if you go to KRFY.org, our website. There's a link to it as well.
Oh, great. I'm glad. Thanks for putting that on there.
So you say art auction. What kind of stuff?
Okay, well, it's not only, it's Viggo Mortensen's photographic prints, books, and music CDs, but they're all signed by Viggo Mortensen. It's his work. So they're very beautiful, big photographic prints, and three of them are framed, and the other seven are matted, ready for framing, and then the CDs and books.
Okay.
And I have to tell you, all over the world, there's the Viggo Mortensen fan club in Spain, the Viggo Mortensen fan club in Poland. They're all aware of this art auction right now.
Oh, yeah. He's a Hollywood star, so he has a big following.
And an artist and a musician.
And that's true.
And
with that, it's time to get on to our main topic today. Again, we have in the studio with us the school board candidates for Zone 3, Lonnie Williams and Victoria Zeisjeg. And Zone 3 is the area that's west of Highway 95 going towards Renko, a little bit north. And it's difficult to describe exactly the boundaries of the zone, but you can only vote for the candidates that are within your, that are the candidates for the zone in which you live. So voters should check the maps to see which zone they fall in. There are two other zones that are, have candidates up for election. And you can do that if you go to the Bonner County Elections website. There's a map, as well as the Sandpoint Online Elections page. There are links to maps there. And that's sandpointelections.com. So check your zone out. And with that, we're going to get started with the candidates. And what, Victoria, do you want to go first?
Sure.
We're going to give you a couple minutes at the top to just tell about yourself, talk to the voters, and it'd be good to tell a little bit about your qualifications and why you're running.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me here today. I'm Victoria Zyshek, and I work with my husband. We have an online health and wellness business. Previous to that, I managed our chiropractic clinic for 12 years. Since being here, I've been involved in a lot of local organizations. Run down those. I've been on the board of Angels Over Sandpoint. I'm currently going into my seventh year of being on the board of Bonner County Republican Women. I serve on the Local Emergency Management Planning Committee for the county, and I'm an associate member of Priest Lake Search and Rescue. So I'm pretty passionate about Bonner County and keeping it the wonderful place that it is. My children and myself have all gone through the public school system, including getting degrees from public universities. And I understood the value of being participating in their education for them and for the community. I volunteered in their classrooms on a regular basis and their booster clubs. I've been on the board of the parent-teacher organization, and when they were in high school, I served on the principal's advisory board. So that's a little bit about me.
Okay, great. And same question to you, Lonnie Williams. So tell us a little bit about yourself and open mic to talk to the voters here.
Okay. Thank you again for having us. So I was not born here. I was born in Lewiston, but we moved up here when I was about two or three and grew up here most of my life. Moved to Coeur d'Alene for a few years and then back. So I graduated from Sandpoint High School. I've always been very involved with sports and extracurriculars all through high school. Played a couple years of soccer in college and then moved on to get my degree from Gonzaga University. And after Gonzaga, moved back here. And I immediately went into some coaching. That's how I decided to try to give back to the community. And that was something that was, you know, near and dear to my heart and something that I knew how to do. So I coached soccer both at the high school level and as well for the Sandpoint Strikers and been involved with the Selkirk Association of Realtors, Feed the Children. Those are some of the things that we're passionate about. I work with my father at Sandpoint Title Insurance, and so we try to be involved and give back to the community as much as possible. And you know, the reason that I'm running is, you know, this school district is near and dear to my heart. I came through this school district. My wife came through this school district, and I feel that it's important to preserve a lot of the programs that we have, and I feel like some of that is on the chopping block if we don't go about it the right way. And I want to give back to my community and try to continue the great work that our district has done.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I think a follow-up question to that would be, and Lana, you kind of answered this, mm-hmm. but let's go into that a little bit more. Why are you running for trustee, this position in Zone 3, and how much time can you devote to the board service? We could go with either one. I don't know.
Lonnie first. We'll try to rotate. Yeah.
So kind of like I said, I'm running because I want to do my part to try to continue the success of our board. I think that I have a vested interest. I myself don't personally have children, but I have a vested interest in our community having good schools. And that's why I want to run, because I want to work hard to continue the work that, that has been done.
Okay. Second part of that question is, how much time would you be able to devote to the position?
I feel like I can devote as much time as is necessary. I coached for quite a few years, and coaching took a lot of time, pretty much daily. And I was able to juggle that with my schedule, which was, you know, dozens of hours a week. And so I feel like the time issue is, it will not be a problem for me.
Okay, thank you. And Victoria Zeischeg, same question to you. You kind of touched on it, but you can elaborate. You know, why are you running, and how much time would you be able to devote to board service?
Well, I decided to run because I've seen a lot of discord in our community, and I would really like to work with the people in this community. We've got an excellent school system. We can do better. I want to run and bring the two sides together, bring more communication, so that we can create a bright and sustainable future for the school district.
Okay. And how much time would you be able to devote?
I'm pretty flexible. Our business is part-time. I work from home, and so I can set my own hours. So I can devote as much time as needed. I will be stepping down from the board of Republican Women after my term ends in December. So that'll free up a lot more of my time. So I'll be just looking for stuff to do.
Well, you would have your hands full, I'm sure. Okay, next question. And this one to you first, Victoria. How many school board meetings have you attended in, say, the past year? And how many schools in our district have you visited personally?
Okay, I think I've attended about 4 school board meetings over the past year, and I've watched some online. And I've also attended the levy presentations that were given by the superintendent. I visited Farm and Stidwell, which is the only school that's in our zone, and the high school.
Okay. Lonnie Williams, same question to you. How many school board meetings have you attended, and how many schools in our district have you personally visited?
In the last year, I've physically gone to one meeting. In the last year, I've gone back online and gone over some of the minutes and presentation materials that are available through the LPOSD website. The only school I haven't been to is Southside School. I've been to every school in the district.
Well, another question here. Gloria.
I forgot. I've been over to Clark Fork High School.
So you visited there too. Yeah. Okay, thank you. And another question. Victoria, you mentioned that you wanted to come on to the school board to help the district do better. I'm going to refer this question to both of you, and Lonnie, we'll go with you first.
Okay.
Do you believe the district is doing a good job, a poor job in educating students, and why? And of course, candidates usually think, I could get in there and help things do better. And so anything you can shed light on those thoughts?
I think that our district is doing very well. And so I'm not coming to this with the approach of, I'm going to go in there and change the world, because I think that they're doing a very good job of educating our youth. There's always room for improvement, but, I think that we see anybody that reads the paper and does a little bit of digging and research can see that, you know, we just got ranked, our high school just got ranked 2nd in the state. We do very well with SAT scores in the high school. We do our bands and our clubs and our extracurriculars, not just sports, all perform at a very, very high level throughout the state. And so I think that's phenomenal.
Thank you. And same question to you, Victoria. Do you believe the district is doing a good job or a poor job in educating the students, and why?
I think the school district is doing a good job. I would like to see some more emphasis on the vocational training and internships.
Yeah.
I think it's a real problem in our community for, I mean, there's the college track, and they're going to go on to secondary education. And I believe the school district is doing a really fine job with that. But there's the other group of kids that, you know, they're going to graduate, but are they ready to go into a vocational training, an internship, apprenticeship? I've talked to many of the businesses, contractors, welders in the area, and they can't find people qualified coming out of high school to read a tape measure. So that is really one of my concerns. I'd like to see more done there.
Okay.
And I noticed, Lana, you have a follow-up.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that. I agree that we need to have more VOTEC-type training. There are some programs that are very successful. Riley Creek Lumber, for instance, has a program where they have high school students that work out at the mill and are able to go down that track. And you know, I know one of them is a success story. He's heading to NIC, it sounds like, to further that education, which is really great.
Okay.
I just wanted to follow up a little bit on the thought of extracurricular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our school does have things like band and art and whatever we have, plays, drama, sports.
Mm-hmm.
What are your stands on that idea of how important is it? Because a lot of the levy votes, the supplemental levy vote, is for some of that, not all of it.
Right.
To support those classes or those offerings for students. So who was next first? I think it would be...
Victoria's first.
Okay, we lost track.
These extracurricular activities are so important. I know from my own experience and my children's experience, and sometimes these things are the only thing that keep kids in high school and going on to graduate and can pique their interest in terms of what they're going to do after high school. It's extremely important.
Okay. Same question to you, Lonnie.
Yeah, I would just pretty much echo what Victoria said. I think that the programs, not just sports, are incredibly important. It, you know, for me, I come from a sports background, a sports family, so I loved sports, and that's was really important to me. But it's also, you know, the clubs, you know, I think drama is incredibly important. I think the clubs, you know, math club, science club, those clubs where, you know, you have academic decathlon, those type of things where, you know, kids get another chance to further their involvement. It's incredibly important.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you've already touched on part of this question, but, let's back up to it. You both described why you're running.
Mm-hmm.
What do you can you name three or four or five issues that are important to you that you'd like to address as a school trustee? And we would start with you, Lonnie, on that.
The three most important things for me is academic achievement, and with that, I would include extracurriculars. And our facilities and how we use our funding. Those are the three most important things, in my opinion. And I put them all on a level playing field. One is not more important than the other. My approach is we have to get the absolute highest student achievement for the very best investment. We cannot take the approach of, well, we're going to spend as little money as possible, because if you take that approach, academic achievement is going to fall by the wayside, and our facilities are going to fall by the wayside. You know, we have some aging buildings, and there's going to be some major maintenance that's going to come up in the next term of whichever one of us is elected is going to be dealing with some of those issues in the next 4 years. I guarantee it.
Okay, thank you. And to Victoria, same question. Describe the top 3 to 5 issues that are animating your desire to run for school board.
Yes, like I mentioned before, that vocational training that will enhance our local economy and will translate really directly into jobs here for our students. Second would be the facilities. There's huge problems going on. Those need to be addressed and addressed quickly. And then the third would be better communication between the school district and the voters and the citizens of the county.
Okay. Well, we have another question that actually follows up on statements by both of you to that one. Last August, the school district had a large plant facility levy, $55 million. It was to actually rebuild Sandpoint Middle School, Northside School, most of Washington School, and address district-wide facility needs. And it failed by a pretty healthy number, actually. 65% voted against it. Our question would be, did you vote for or against the levy and why? And how should the district be funding replacement and repair of schools? It's a meaty question, and you get it first, Victoria.
Okay, it is a meaty question. I felt that this particular levy was too large and taking on too much without enough detailed study. I would like to see more of the approach of one school at a time. That levy didn't even include the Lake Ponderay High School, which is in dire need of help. One way or another. We need to do the upfront studies to see detailed studies. It's going to cost money, but we need those studies to know, is replacement better? Is renovation better? What long term? And because I think some of our buildings were built on the cheap and they weren't thinking about long term. And so now we're holding that. We're going to have to take care of that business. And I really want to look for the long term and the best for our district.
And a little follow up there. Would you see a series of levies then if we do it one school at a time? I think one of the concerns, as I understood right. from the original levy, was that by parsing out the schools one at a time, that the parents and some of them would have more support than others just because they have more kids going to
right.
them.
Right. I understand that. First of all, for the facilities, I would really prefer seeing bonds. I think that's easier on the taxpayer. And if we have the right plan, those are going to pass. We get that communication going with our voters, the district, our voters, our parents, our students. If we have the right plan, it's going to easily pass.
Okay. All right. Same question to you, Lonnie. I can rephrase it again. The voters turned down a $55 million plant facility levy to replace mm-hmm. several schools. Did you vote for or against it? And how do you think the district should go about funding replacement and repair schools?
I guess first part of that question is I did vote for it. It was rather reluctantly, I would say. It was a big chunk. But yes, I did vote for it. I don't think that it was brought to the public in the right manner. I would probably echo a lot of what Victoria said. I think one of the reasons that it failed is it was just this huge chunk all at once, and it was going to have such a big impact on our taxes. It's a tough pill to swallow for people to see $28 million for middle school. Holy smokes, that is a lot of money. So I'd like to see, possibly a bond approach. You can spread that out over a longer period of time. The hit is not, so upfront and so heavy on the taxpayer. The downside of that, obviously, is you got to have a supermajority. So, getting to that point could possibly be tough, especially for some of the outlying areas. I think that you have overwhelming support in town for a lot of this stuff, but when you get to some of the rural areas, they have a hard time passing votes on these things. So, It needs to be addressed. It's going to take time, but yeah, we need to build quality buildings that are going to withstand the test of time. And we will be dealing with that over the next, decade.
Mm-hmm. Or more.
Yes.
Actually, it never ends, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, really? No, no.
Buildings get old and they need replacement and maintenance. And
maintenance is huge.
And this is to remind our listeners, you're listening to the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show with hosts me, Chris, and Susie. Say hi, Susie.
Hi.
And we're talking today with the candidates for school trustee zone 3. That's the area that's west of town, a little bit north. And we should also mention that the election date is May 16th. That's a week and a half away. So it's time for voters to get serious about understanding their candidates.
Mm-hmm. At the end of this segment, we will talk about other ways that you can get informed. And an informed voter is an important thing. And also get registered. I think early registration is over, but being informed encourages people. So this is one way. Listen to KRFY. We have a show next week with Zone 2 candidates. But there's some other things we'll talk about at the end of the show that you can become more informed. And really listen to the candidates and how they stand. Mm-hmm. So we have another question.
Yes.
Okay, I'll ask it.
Okay.
Okay. The recent $17 million supplemental instruction levy passed March 14th with a 64% vote in favor of. So our question would be, and I think we'll start with Lonnie, did you vote for or against this levy and why?
Yes, I voted for that levy. I was a very strong supporter of the supplemental levy. It makes up about a third of our district's budget. There's, the obvious reasons, I think, are, some of the stuff that would have, all of the extracurricular activities are funded by the supplemental levy. But, a huge part of that is teacher salaries and benefits that made up over half of that levy and over 100 full-time positions at the school district are funded through that levy. So I think to vote against that levy was a bad idea because it would slash the budget so drastically that the scramble that would have to go on with the school district to try to continue what we're doing would have been extremely detrimental to not only multiple programs, but also the workforce. And, the ripple effects of a district that starts to go downhill are felt through a community pretty quickly.
And Victoria, the same question. Do you want me to repeat it?
Yes.
Okay. The recent $17 million supplemental instructional levy passed. And on March 14th, in favor of, did you vote for or against this levy and why?
Well, I was really for keeping the levy at the rate it had been before. I believe that's $15.7 million. I understand that the district really needs the help of the taxpayer in the form of levies to keep a top level education. I know that's important. I did go to the levy presentation by Superintendent Woodward and Lisa Halls. I spent about an hour with them. And I asked Superintendent Woodward, I said, if this levy doesn't pass, will you bring it back in May? And he said, absolutely. I was really hoping that that it would come back in May and, at the same level it had been before. Like the other districts surrounding our district, all their levies stayed the same. And that's what I was hoping for. I'm glad that the levy did pass and that, there is money to continue on.
Okay. You're looking for a follow-up, Lonnie.
I'm just curious. You didn't answer the first part of the question, whether or not you voted in favor or against it.
Well, I think I made it clear.
Okay. Thank you.
Voted against it. Yes. Okay. Well, here's a good follow-up question, and you're first anyways, Victoria. So if the question is, how do we bring down costs, right? You would have favored a lower levy. So the choices are difficult there. One of the choices would be to support closing rural schools such as Clark Fork because they have a higher cost per pupil, north side or south side. So would you support that? Would you support larger class sizes? Would you support saving money on extracurricular activities like athletics by charging fees for kids to participate? Would you support these measures to bring the cost down?
Let's take them one at a time.
Yeah.
Closing.
That's an easy question.
Too. And you may have to remind me.
Okay.
Closing rural schools. I am not a fan of closing rural schools. Those are important community hubs. And to bus students, I mean, I've lived rurally with my children, and they've had to ride the bus for an hour to go to school. And it's not a good thing, especially when they're young. So I am not in favor of that. I wouldn't support that. In terms of class sizes, I think early ages and like math and science classes need to remain small. Other classes, like in high school, I think they can be larger. I mean, I went from high school to University of California, and you know, we had auditorium of 300 to 500 people. So I think for certain classes that would work. So that would be balancing. And
the third one was, how about extracurricular activities and charging kids participation fees?
There again, I'm not a fan of that. It would require a lot of study. If that were the case, I would be adamant about no child not being able to participate because of economics.
Okay, thank you. So same big question to you, Lonnie Williams. To bring down costs, would you support closing rural schools such as Clark Fork, Northside, or Southside? Would you support larger class sizes generally, which could render some cost savings? Or would you support saving money on extracurricular activities by charging fees to kids?
I guess the short answer on those is no, no, and no. I think that we need to keep our rural schools open. You know, echoing what Victoria said, they are very important parts of the communities in which they lie. And so, no, I'm not in favor of closing those schools. The class size, I think that we need to strive to have the smallest class size that we can afford. I don't want to increase class size. The better, the more, you know, one-on-one approach that you can have with a student, the better. And the larger the class size, the less likely that is to happen. And as far as pay to play, I'm not in favor of that approach at all. I think that it would immediately dissuade families from lower socioeconomic ability from participating.
Okay.
Well, I think we want to get into the curriculum a little bit.
Okay. A couple of questions on curriculum.
Okay. Here we go. What changes, and we'll start with Lonnie.
Mm-hmm.
What changes, if any, would you seek in a district curriculum? And what role do you see, and what do you see as the role of technology in education? It's a curriculum-based question.
Okay. As far as broad changes to curriculum, I don't think that we need to come in and have these broad sweeping changes to curricula. I think that it is very important that we try to offer as broad a curriculum as we can, especially in you know, the non-college bound curriculum, if you know, the VOTEC type curriculum. But I also think, you know, it's incredibly important that we stick to teaching, you know, math, science, languages, you know, obviously English, but not just English. Foreign language is very important as well. And as far as technology's position in our curriculum, it's not going away. It's, and to shy away from that or not include it in our curriculum, I think it would be doing our students a disservice. This is a technological world that we live in, and the more prepared our students are to go on to the next level, no matter what that next level is, technology is going to play a part. So we need to be on the front lines of that.
Thank you, Lonnie Williams. And Victoria, the same question. What changes, if any, would you seek in the district curriculum? And how do you see the role of technology in education?
For the basics with curriculum, I think they're doing a pretty good job. Their rating, according to the U.S. News and World Report, which gave them a stellar number two in Idaho, but we're not doing well in math. So I would want to enhance the math education in our schools. And again, vocational training, let's bring back wood shop and auto shop and some of those basics there.
Technology.
Oh, yes, that is so important. I mean, my goodness, with the boards that I'm on and I serve with people that are older than I am and some that are younger and they don't know how to do a spreadsheet and just some of the basic stuff. It's so important just in daily life to be able to know how to use technology. And if this is just going to get more complex. I mean, robots are going to be doing a lot of the things that we do now. And, our kids are going to have to need to know how to use it. And if we can start that at the secondary, middle school, secondary, even elementary level, it becomes part of their DNA, really. It's important.
They're better than we are already.
I know.
Ask a student for help.
Well, here's follow-up question on that, actually submitted by a listener. We did accept questions via our website. And we'll start with you, Victoria Zeischek. Would you please ask the candidates their opinions on the state legislators' move in this last session to strike new science standards in Idaho education, specifically evolution and global warming? And I don't know if you're familiar with a bill that came up. It didn't progress, but it had to do with new science standards in the state. Can you speak to that?
I believe that all science should be taught across the board, as long as it's the facts. And if it's based on computer modeling, state that this is based on this outcome could happen because of this computer modeling that we've done. As long as it's based on facts, I have no issue with presenting anything in the science class.
Okay, so her question was specifically evolution and global warming
I'm fine.
Should be taught from a scientific basis.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, correct.
Okay. Same question to you, Lonnie.
I'd have to agree with Victoria on that. I think that to teach science is hugely important, and including evolution, the theory of evolution, and global warming. It's something real that we're dealing with and needs to be taught.
Okay. Thank you. Well, here's a kind of a corollary question, because there's always discussion about teaching values in the public schools. And this would be to you first, Lonnie Williams. Mm-hmm. Should our district be teaching about matters such as family life and sex education and AIDS? Is that an appropriate thing for the public schools to be teaching? And of course, right now, gay and LGBTQ issues are increasingly have more discussion. How should those issues be handled within the public schools?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that we do need to be teaching values. I think our teachers are role models to our students, so they, by acting as, good teachers, they are already teaching values to our students. Yes, I do think it's important that sex ed be taught in our school system, including AIDS and any other, sexually transmitted infections. And as far as LGBTQ issues, I think it's very important that every student in our district have a safe approach and be taught and be treated with a level of respect, and you know, that they can come to school and not feel threatened is hugely important. So yeah, I think that that we do need to teach those values.
Thank you. Same question to you, Victoria Zeiss-Chegg. What, if anything, should our schools do about teaching values such as family life, sex education, teaching about AIDS, and how should gay LGBTQ issues be handled within the school district?
Yes, thank you. I do believe that values are taught in the home, but our teachers, administrators, and our student leaders, they can teach values through example, and that's very important. In terms of sex education, health education, it's appropriate to, at the appropriate age level, to have that in the schools. I think it's important. Little aside, when my daughter was in high school and she was in health education, there was a 1 week curriculum that I was, as a parent, was a little uncomfortable with. I wanted to deal with that at home. I was able to opt her out. She went to study hall. There was no, you know, she didn't get hassled or anything. So I would like to, you know, give that opportunity to parents. I think sometimes parents pull their child just out of school over issues like this. And we, if we can keep them in and but just take them out for a week into study hall, mm-hmm. I think that's a good mm-hmm. idea. We need to have a good open conversation about the LGBTQ because it's part of our society. And, you know, we need to be rational and have that open discussion.
Okay.
Well, thank you. I just want to, we just have a little bit more time. Did you have anything in that same realm, Chris?
But no, that's kind of covered the curriculum questions that we had. We did have another question from a listener.
Yeah, this is a good one. You know, anyone sitting on a board of directors, voting and coming to a consensus decision is important. So being a member of a board means reaching decisions as a group, mm-hmm. either by consensus or by vote. And then publicly supporting those decisions going forward, even if personally you might not have agreed with it totally for some reason. Can you pledge to support board decisions, even if personally against them, if elected? And Victoria?
Absolutely. The Board of Trustees, any board, works as a whole. No one person has more power than the other. You know, and that's what I'm running on, coming to consensus, even when there are differences. Absolutely. I will support the board's decision, even if I'm voting a different way. When we come out of that meeting, I support it 100%.
Thank you. And Lonnie Williams, same question.
Yes, I think that any board, you know, it operates as a team. And you, there's going to be dissension when things are being discussed. However, once the board votes and comes up with a position, absolutely you can move forward. And I would be able to move forward with a board's decision if it was not the same stance that I took.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Chris?
Here's another question from a listener. What, and we'll start with you, Lonnie Williams. What is the single most important thing you want voters to know about you as a candidate for the school board? That's kind of question. It's always a tough one.
I think the most important thing that I want voters to know about me is that you know, I approach this with the best intentions for our district and our youth. And I want to continue the rise of our district. You know, it's there's been a lot of work that's gone into the LPOSD for the last, you know, 20 plus years, and what we're doing as a board, all those tireless hours that teachers and staff have put in during that time period, it's working. And I want to continue that success that we're now reaping the benefits of.
Okay. Victoria Zeiss-Chegg, same question to you. What is the single most important thing you want voters to know about you as a candidate for the school board?
I think the single most important thing is for them to know that I am here to listen. I want to hear from our voters what their concerns are. I want to hear from the parents, the taxpayers. I want to be open that communication. I have a website. I have a Facebook page. Social media. We can have dialogue that way. I want to promote the conversation so that we can really move forward. We've got a great school system, but again, I think we can do better. And let's work together to create this bright and sustainable future for the Lake Pend'Oreille School District.
Okay, thank you. I think we have time for one more question, and this again was sent in by a listener. We'll start with you, Victoria, and it kind of follows up actually on the last one. What, if anything, do you think our schools have to do with the kind of community we are?
Repeat that, please.
What, if anything, do you think our schools have to do with the kind of community we are?
Oh, everything. Oh, my goodness. You just look at the Bonner County Daily Bee. Every day there is a wonderful article by Mary Malone about the school. It's huge. I think it's the largest employer in the county. It creates our culture. It's
a big part of the community.
Absolutely.
And same question to you, Lonnie Williams. What, if anything, do you think our schools have to do with the kind of community we are?
I agree with Victoria. It's a huge part of our community. It's not only do we, you know, is it the backbone for our youth, it also plays a big part in a growing community. If we are to continue to grow as a community, we need to continue to excel as a school district. We need to continue to offer as many programs and a diverse school system that we can, and that will help us grow as a community in terms of recruitment of skilled workers and to continue our, you know, the growth of this town and community. The school is a huge part of that.
Well, thank you. Do we want to do a final statement?
Yep.
Okay.
So we are getting close to out of time, but we have time for a couple minutes for each of you to make your statement to the voters here. And I guess we'll start with you, Lonnie, a couple of minutes to or a minute to wrap it up and tell folks about why they should vote for you.
Okay. Thank you. I think it's important to realize that what our school board is, our school district is facing at this time. And my approach is, like I said, is to continue the hard work that we have, that our district has done over the last a couple decades, and continue to move forward in a positive manner, with the smartest investment possible to continue to grow this community. If anybody has any questions of me, please feel free to reach out. VoteForWilliams.com is my website. And I also have a Facebook page that is Lonnie Williams for LPOSD Trustee. So if anybody has any questions, please feel free to reach out to me.
Thank you, Lonnie Williams. Victoria Zeischeg, what would you like to say to the voters here in the last minute or two?
Well, thank you again for having us here. We have a great slate of candidates. I don't think I've ever seen a school board, school trustee race that has really had this much involvement with the people and the publicity, and that actually is a wonderful thing. I do believe that I have the experience, the leadership, problem solving, and the wisdom to be the one to fill this position of trustee. I'm open to communication. I want to make this school district and the community grow and enhance. And I would appreciate your vote on May 16th.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you, Lonnie Williams and Victoria Zeischeg, for Zone 3 Lake Pend'Oreille School District candidates for the trustees. And I just want to remind our listeners that this is 88.5 KRFY. Community Radio. We're broadcasting the morning show live here. And next week, we'll have Zone 2 Lake Ponderay School District trustee candidates. That's Richard Miller and Gary
Supiger.
Thank you for that clarification. Supiger. And there's a lot of opportunities to find out more, become an informed and educated voter. And the most important thing is to get out and vote. And so we'll talk about some of those things.
Right now?
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, there is there's a trustee candidate form tonight, and it's sponsored by the Bonner County Republican Central Committee. Candidates for all three of the trustee zones are up for election. That's at 6 p.m. at the Ponderay Events Center in Ponderay, which is upstairs above Selkirk Glass. So there's one opportunity there. And then again, next Wednesday, May 10th, KRFY, along with the Sandpoint Online and the Sandpoint Reader, are hosting another candidate forum. Be the last one that we know about anyways.
And KRFY will be streaming live. So you can, if you can't get to the forum, which is at the Columbia Bank building, you can always turn on 88.5 and listen to it live.
Yep, and that's next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. at the Columbia Bank room, as well as there's information about the election, of course, on the Bonner County Elections page, and there are information about the election as well as profiles of the candidates, links to their website, on the Sandpoint Online Election Central page. So use these resources and get informed, make an informed vote.
And Victoria has...
I just wanted to mention, there, in case you can't get to all those places, there is a meeting of the North Idaho Federated Republican Women a week from Thursday, 5:30 at the Holiday Inn Express. I believe it'll be a forum where we're given a few minutes to present a little bit about us and take some questions from the audience at 5:30 at the Holiday Inn Express.
And that's next Thursday.
A week from tomorrow.
May 11th.
May 11th, okay. Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Good to know about that. Is that going to be broadcast in the newspaper or anything?
I don't know if it will be covered or not.
But another opportunity to find out from your candidates how they stand and who they are. Yeah. And so we're going to take a little musical break. We're going to come back with some KRFY information and community calendar events. But right now we're going to hear The Beach Boys, Be True to Your School. Stay with us. This is 88.5 KRFY, and it's The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. We'll be right back. And that was The Beach Boys, Be True to Your School. We just finished up an interview with the Zone 3 candidates for the Lake Ponderay School District vote that's coming up on May 16th. You have a lot of opportunities to find out all about your candidates that are coming in, and that was Zone 3. And if you need to know what zone you're in, you can go to Bonner County Elections website, and they will tell you. There's a phone number there that you can call also and just tell them your address, and they'll tell you what zone you are. You have to be living in the zone to vote for those zone candidates, by the way. I want to let you know a few things that are coming up here at KRFY. Tomorrow on the morning show, host Jack Peterson and Jim Healy, they will be interviewing organizers of the upcoming Food for Our Children Cinco de Mayo fundraiser, with a second important interview with Festival at Sandpoint Executive Director Dinah Wall. That's at 8 a.m. on 88.5 KRFY Community Radio. Also on Friday, we have an extra special interview. KRFY has teamed up with the University of Idaho Cyclocross course to do a benefit Viggo Mortensen art auction, and we're having a kickoff with an art opening and reception on May 6th. But we're having Charles Mortensen and Jim Healy and Susie Perez, that's me, in to talk about the opening of our art auction. It is an online auction, but you can view the art at the Syringa Cyclery on Saturday, and we'll hear all about that on Friday. We're going to actually be done with our morning show right now. Next Tuesday, I'll let you know that Phil Huff and Julie Calamine, their guests will be Tom Dabrowski from the Idaho Trails Association. Lots going on. You can always go to KRFY www.rcc.org and find out more. You can also listen to this interview today and all of our morning show interviews by going to our podcast at our website, krfy.org, at any point in time. We're going to go out with a song by Glenn Campbell. This was the number one song 40 years ago today. It's called Southern Nights. Have a great day. It's beautiful out there. Take care.